Father, we thank you for the birth of Jesus and what it means to us. We pray that these words might bring light to our hearts and mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the best calculations theologians can make was that Jesus was probably born in September, October, and he was probably born somewhere around just before 4 BC. King Herod died in 4 BC, and shepherds wouldn't be watching their flocks at night out in the field in December. So there's been a lot of conversations about exactly when was Jesus born. We celebrate the birth of Jesus on the 25th of December. But actually, we're not really sure what date Jesus was born. It doesn't really matter. The fact that he was born is the key point, not when he was born. You see, I've met people alive today who can't tell me when their birth date is. But when I spoke to them, they were sure alive, and they were sure present here. Now, that's an interesting conversation, but I want to actually get us to think about a second question that's, to me, even more important. Even though we don't know when Jesus was born, God knows exactly the exact time when Jesus was born and he sent Jesus to the earth. But more important question is, why did God choose that time, 2024 years ago, why did God choose that time in all of the history of the earth to send Jesus then, at that space, whenever that was, whatever year that was, why did he do it then? It wasn't actually the golden years of the history of humankind. Let me tell you what the world was like when Jesus was born. The first Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus, he died when Jesus was a teenager, and he was the first Roman emperor alive. When Jesus was born, the pyramids of Giza had already been around for 2,500 years. And when Jesus was about 14 years old, Augustus, Octavius we know him by, died, and Tiberius, Claudius Nero, took over the emperorship. The Roman Empire, even in the early days, had a huge military force. Back then, they had somewhere between 100 and 200,000 soldiers. So a military base of somewhere between 100,000 and 200,000 soldiers. Huge taxes back then when Jesus was born. 30% of the population in the Roman part of the Roman Empire, not necessarily in Judea, but in Roman Empire, were slaves. People captured from other countries and made to work. To keep control of Judea and Galilee, that's the area where Jesus comes from, the Romans installed a king. They called him King Herod. He wasn't really a king and he was under control of the Romans. And so when King Herod became powerful, he decided that he was going to introduce further taxes at the temple and further requirements for sacrifices at the temple. And the poor people were being taxed out of their lives. There was heaps of civil unrest. People were being assassinated. There was civil war. A large, wealthy aristocracy with privilege and power, and unemployment in Rome was huge. It's a huge problem. Corruption amongst the poor was rampant, and needless to say that morality was in serious decay. You just have to read Romans chapter 1 to get an idea of what the morality in Rome was during that period of time. Human life was cheap, murders were frequent, divorce was generally accepted, and exposure of unwanted babies. If you had a boy, that's good. If you had a baby girl, You just left them out in the open and they died. That was very common practice. Paganism was rampant and the society was unable to lift itself out of its own moral decay. No wonder the Roman Empire, several centuries later, just totally collapsed. In fact, one of the great commentators on the social structure of the time, Merrill C. Tenney, wrote this: corruption in politics, debauchery in pleasure, fraud in business, deceit and superstition in religious life in Rome, depressing for the many and unendurable for the few. It was a bad time to be alive. So the $64,000 question is, why would God send a little baby, you know, why would God intersect the finite world at that time? God, who is independent of time and space, just try and imagine that, independent of time and space, intersected the world. The infinite intersects a finite, and he chooses that time in history to reveal himself. Now, it's interesting because the Bible, both times Paul, when he wrote to the church in Rome, so this is very relevant to these people, the church, the Italians. When Paul wrote to the Italians, he wrote these words, Romans 5:6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly at just the right time. So, title of the sermonette is At Just the Right Time, part one, part two tomorrow morning. What do you mean at just the right time? How could that be? And look at when he wrote to the church in Galatians, he wrote this: but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. But when the time had fully come. So you've got to start thinking about this. I've been thinking about this all for the last 3 weeks, actually. God sent Jesus, the baby, into the world at just the right time. Sure didn't seem like the right time. God knew exactly when it was the right time to intervene in the world, to bring Jesus into the world. Now, let me suggest just quickly four reasons why I think God did it and we missed it. Why did God send Jesus and many of us missed it? Why is it that so many people in our community miss it now? Like, how come not everybody in South Surrey goes to church on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? How do we miss that? So let me give you four suggestions and I'll finish with them. Number one, God's timing is seldom the same as our timing. The clock that you run on and the clock that God runs on are usually very, very different. First of all, God is way more patient than us. Like, you know, if it were up to you and me, we would have sent Jesus after the first human beings were created, after the sin thing. But no, God was patient and he waited. How often have you done, or me even, how often have we done something impulsively and then we realize we should have waited? Imagine if God made decisions in the same way that you and I make decisions. If God worked in the same time frame that you did or I did, we'd be in big trouble. So one of the things you realize is that God works in a whole different system than we do. And when you try and think of how things should be done, and then you think about how God thinks things should be done, his timing is perfect. Because it was at just the right time when Jesus came to the world. Sometimes we actually miss God's timing. We don't actually understand the timing of things. Let me give you an example. When Jesus was dying on the cross, there were people around who were saying, so where is God now? Look, your Saviour is dying and Jesus is on the cross and the Romans are killing him. Where is God now? Or sometimes we say, I hear people when you know, during really, really difficult times of suffering. So where's God now in my suffering? Well, the answer, of course, if you understand God's timing, is right in the middle of it. What do you think God was doing on the cross while he was suffering? Well, God was mysteriously working out salvation for the whole world while Jesus was right there on the cross, right in the middle of the suffering. That's where God was. But we miss that sort of stuff. Right in the middle of your suffering, that's where God is, if you could just see him. They looked at the cross. Jesus is working out, God is working out salvation to the whole world, and most people missed it. It's God's timing, but we missed it. A lot of people haven't got cottoned onto that yet. Sometimes we just can't see God in the middle of his own timing. You see, it was just the right time. At just the right time, he sent. But we missed it. Another thing you should understand is that God always has a long-term view in mind. You see, everything God does is in the context of eternity. Everything God does is in the context independent of time and space. God doesn't make decisions based on the here and now. That's how we function. God works on things. He's got to move this person over here, and this person has to lose their job so they can move to this house, and this house has to be sold, and this person moves over here, and after 10 years you get the job offer. But it took him 10 years to get there so that you could get the job offer. God works in a big picture. Let me give you another example. People say dying of cancer. I've been visiting people recently, and I've done quite a few funerals recently, people dying of cancer. Well, you see, many times we pray for the person who has cancer to be healed so that they don't die. That's actually not a bad prayer. But from God's perspective, what he wants, because he's thinking of the big picture, he would rather the person died and spent eternity with him than the person was healed and never got to know him. You know, see, God thinks in the big picture. Now, we don't want anybody to die, and we pray that they don't, and sometimes God heals them. But a way more important prayer is to pray the prayer of eternity. After they die, what happens? That's even more important. So you see, God thinks of the big picture. We just sort of think of here and now. And so at just the right time, the baby was sent. We didn't get the timing right. And finally, let me say, God always has a big picture in mind. God makes decisions based on everything he sees and knows. And usually that's totally different to what you see and know. I'm not sure how people can complain to God and blame God for something when they don't have all the facts. You know, for instance, in business, those of you who run business, you know the principle, the person with the facts makes all the decisions. If you don't have the facts, you can't make the decisions. And the danger is that you and I make decisions without knowing the big story. And yet God knows the big story. He can see the whole story. He knew at exactly the right time, that's when Jesus needed to be sent. I talk to politicians a lot, and they tell me privately, because they see a lot of people, and pastors have the same experience, and the politicians tell me people come all the time with their advice to the politicians. And the truth is that people have no idea what they're talking about because they don't know all the other stuff that's going on. They don't know all of this and all of that. They just say, we want this done tomorrow. And pastors, I get sometimes, not from our congregation, but in my history, people giving me advice to how to do things. They have no idea what's going on. And we do the same with God. We've got sometimes no idea what's going on. We just see our world here. God sees eternity, and he thought that just at the right time, he would send the Saviour. So here's the bottom line. Here's the purpose of what I'm trying to say tonight. When Jesus was born is an interesting question. But why God chose that time is a way more important question for us, I think. Because just at the right time, let's say 2,022 years ago, God sent Jesus so that you and I could be here tonight listening to this sermon and celebrating and worshipping together. It took 2,022 years for God to organise it so that we could be together tonight. Because it was just the right time when he did that. And to me, that's amazing that we would be together, people who have very little in common in the world out there. We're together celebrating the birth of Jesus. That's because at just the right time, he sent a baby. God's not only intervening in history, which is his story. You heard that right? History is his story, even though people don't recognize him. It's still his story. God's intervened in his story, and he's intervening in your life. God has a perfect track record and a perfect plan, and that's why you can trust him. If he sent Jesus at just the right time, you can trust him that he's doing the right things in your life. Now, you may not see it. You may miss the timing. You may not have the big picture in mind. You may not have the long-term view in mind. You might not even have the same timing as God, but you can trust his timing in your life. That's really encouraging, because his perfect plan for your life means that he's going to get you through what you've got to get through so that you finish well. That's a really big thing. If you come tomorrow morning and worship with us, I'm going to tell you part B on how you can make sure you can get in on God's timing. How do you do it? Tonight I just want to say to you that you can trust it, because he's going to get you through his timing, not yours, his timing. Tomorrow I'll tell you how you can get in on it.